Not since the onset of the Great Recession in 2008 have the Feds raised the benchmark interest rate, which impacts mortgage rates and other important financial rates. ISU Professor of Finance Edgar Norton joins us to discuss what members of the Fed Reserve Board of Governors might be thinking as they consider changing the rate. First, though, the last time we talked about what the Fed Reserve Board is, Edgar, if you could just briefly remind us who these people are and what is it they do.
Well, it's comprised of 12 people. Seven of which are appointed by the president for 14-year terms. There's five of the 12 Federal Reserve Bank presidents also sit on the board, and they do mundane things like oversee bank regulation, but they also have a big impact on what happens to the money supply and to interest rates in the economy. And so they make decisions month to month to perhaps try to raise or try to lower interest rates in the economy.
And as we've mentioned, the interest rate hasn't changed, at least by the Federal Reserve. This basic benchmark rate hasn't changed for 7 years or so. But the Fed has done some things to try and impact the economy a certain way. One of them was Ben Bernanke's quantitative easing. Tell us a little bit about that. What was that designed to do and what happened?
Well, they found a new tool in their toolkit. The classic action by the Federal Reserve to try to stimulate the economy is to try to move interest rates down. And so after the Great Recession started, they repeatedly tried to reduce the federal funds interest rate and therefore other interest rates in the economy. But you can only go so far. Once you hit zero, you really can't go too much below that.
It's hard, right.
And so they developed an idea to try to, as a central bank, to buy up some interest rate-sensitive assets, home mortgages and bonds. The idea being that if they purchase those securities, that would have an impact on that would help pump more money into the economy. They couldn't lower interest rates anymore, so they tried to affect the credit markets other ways by increasing liquidity and making it easier for businesses and individuals to obtain a loan.
There are several ways you can decide whether or not that's worked. One of them might be the economy hasn't gone horribly south.
Well, it did keep us from falling further into recession, and like it or not, we have had a period of sustained growth. It's rather low sustained growth on an historical basis, but the economy has grown, and so from that respect, we can argue it's been successful. But get two economists in a room, you have three opinions. There's this other issues there with fiscal policy, things Congress and the president have and have not done. Regulations coming down the pike, anywhere from Dodd-Frank to Obamacare. We can all point at a lot of things that have either helped or perhaps hindered economic growth over that time frame, but at least the Fed has tried to do what they can do. They can't affect all that other stuff. They just have an impact on the monetary framework and on interest rates, and they've tried to do what they do best to try to move the economy along.
But they haven't changed the interest rate now since the Great Recession in 2008. Why not?
Well, the economy has been sluggish. It has unemployment for the longest time has been quite high. Just recently, it's become 5%, which is perhaps a more normal or natural level for unemployment. But even with that low unemployment level, there's still a lot of discouraged workers out there or people who are underemployed. And so even though the unemployment rate looks comparable to pre-Great Recession levels, the economy still isn't chugging along the way we would like it to. And so they've been scared, if you will, or cautious is the proper word. They've been cautious to raise interest rates based upon what might be happening overseas in Europe and their sluggish economy, the Greece problems of a few years ago with that financial crisis, and slow growth here. The concern is if you raise interest rates, you might choke off any growing economy and tip us back into a recession.
And that could explain why we keep hearing about, well, this month the Fed may raise the rate and then they don't. That's probably because there's been some market indicator that's come along that's kind of pushed them back a little bit and said, well, this isn't quite where we want it to be, so let's wait again until the next time.
Well, they have been looking at, over time, the unemployment rate, which has gone down, as well as the inflation rate. What inflationary pressures are out there? Are wages increasing because there's increased demand in the economy? And they haven't seen that. And so that has taken some pressure off of them to raise interest rates. Besides looking at the government stats, the Fed collects data every month and assembles it all from all 12 Federal Reserve districts. It's called a beige book. And so that's not just government statistics. It's really on-the-ground reporting. What's happening in Chicago and St. Louis and Cleveland and the major metro centers in the U.S.? So they try to get a read on the economy before the official government stats come out. And I guess they've been seeing over the past 7 years an economy that's not robust enough to really take a chance with raising interest rates.
So let's speculate a little bit here. Let's say next week the Fed gathers and they decide again not to raise rates. Is that just another, there's some other indicator that you just mentioned that's come along that's basically told them this isn't the time?
Well, the last GDP report was a little bit higher than some people expected. And again, unemployment has fallen. Last report I saw, it's about 5%. And so that might give them enough nudge to cautiously increase interest rates a bit. If it doesn't happen, I think that sends a signal that they still believe that the economy is sluggish, and they don't want a chance raising interest rates for fear of tipping things into a recession.
So let's speculate and say that they do raise the interest rates. Is how much they raise the rate some sort of a indication of where they think the economy is going? For instance, if it's a microscopic increase, are they being very, very conservative and very cautious? And maybe if it's a little bit more than that, maybe they think they're signaling robust things are ahead?
Well, typically when the Fed changes interest rates, they change it by a quarter point of a time at a time. And so they might raise their target level by one quarter of 1%. If it's more than that, they're sending a stronger signal that, whoa, we need to really tap on the brakes a little bit harder here. And so I don't think that's going to be the case. But if they raise it by a quarter point, that shows in some ways a vote of confidence that the economy may be on a sustained growth path from their perspective. And they're willing to tap on the brakes just a bit. And plus, I mean, if there is higher interest rates, that does send a signal to the international community that, hey, maybe the U.S. economy is recovering and we'll have future growth, and it might be an interesting place to invest.
And we've seen mortgage rates go up just very slightly over the last few weeks and months. So I think it's safe to say, no matter what happens with this meeting next week, that the Federal Reserve Board, whatever happens, there will be some kind of an increase in mortgage rates.
Yeah, that could be supply and demand issues in the housing market as people continue to buy, want to move up or buy their first home. And so that might be on the upper end. But still, you and I and our savings and checking accounts or our CDs won't see much of any change at all until the Fed starts to move and raise rates.
Janet Yellen is fairly new in her position as the Federal Reserve Board Chair. How important is this particular meeting for her career? Is this something that could shape her legacy, or is this just, is it too early to tell?
It's probably too early to tell. Ben Bernanke was Fed Chair for many, many years, and with 2020 hindsight in history, he still gets blamed depending upon what your perspective is on the Fed. Did he do right, or did he help create the problem? And so, just like any politician, they can't do anything good because left or right, middle, it will criticize them. I think that will happen for Janet Yellen as well. I guess my perspective is she's trying to do, it's not just her, of course, it's the entire board, but they're trying to do as best they can to keep the economy muddling along. We have to remember that the Great Recession happened in part because we overleveraged. We had too much debt in the economy. And history has shown that when you have a debt-driven recession like that, it does take a while to dig yourself out of it. And so people are critical that this economic recovery has been long and slow. But then again, you know, some people, two famous economists wrote a book back in the Great Recession saying, you know, it's different this time. And they were saying that facetiously. It's not different. Whenever you go back in history and you see a debt-driven recession, it is a long, slow recovery. And that's exactly what we've seen here. So those economists were right. And so we can't blame the Fed for a long recovery, a slow recovery. It's just the way things work out when you try to dig yourself out from a debt load.
All right. Well, we'll watch and see what happens with the Federal Reserve Board next week. Edgar, as always, thanks. Maybe we'll have you back next month to kind of do a little post-game analysis about what's been going on.
Yeah, I can get out my lucky quarter and tell you what the Fed is going to do. You want me to do that?
I don't think that's okay. Going to help us much in this case.
I agree.
But we do thank you for stopping by, Edgar Norton.
Thank you, Willis.
I'm Willis Kern.